future, for that is where you and I are going to spend the rest of our lives. And remember, my friend, future events such as these will affect you in the future. You are interested in the unknown, the mysterious, the unexplainable. That is why you are here. And now, for the first time, we are bringing to you the full story of what happened on that fateful day. We are giving you all the evidence based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Let us punish the guilty. Let us reward the innocent. My friend, can your heart stand the shocking facts about
the Self-Genius Hour of Slack?
Power. We have vast power. At least 120 volts of pure electrical power. And now all we need is 100 million volts of pure, unadulterated pleasure.
Another one?
I have appetite. It hungers, needs like anyone else. I must perforce indulge my baby pleasures as best I can.
Like did not Bob say, do what keepeth thou from wilting shall be the loophole in the law? Am I to let myself wilt, Bob? Can I help it if my idea of slack was against all laws of God, man, and nature?
Well, there is no question that a cosmic interloper will hit the Earth, and we won't have to wait for millions of years for it to happen. In 1908, a 200-foot-wide comet fragment slammed into the atmosphere and exploded over the Tunguska region in Siberia, Russia, with nearly 1,000 times the energy of the atomic bomb dropped on Hiroshima. Astronomers estimate similar-sized events occur every 1 to 3 centuries.
So hang out, folks, for another century, and you too can join George Bush looking up at the skies and yelling and screaming about things that he can't change.
Raging impotently in impotent rage. Yes, impacts of large objects from space hitting us have repeatedly disrupted human civilization. One killed 10,000 people in the Chinese city of Qianyang in 1490. Many scientists
killed 3,000 people
again. Interpretations. Impacts are most likely to occur over the ocean, and small ones that happen over land are most likely to affect unpopulated areas. But with big asteroids, it doesn't matter much where they land.
Spinal Tap, see, the influence.
Objects more than half a mile wide, which strike Earth every 250,000 years or so, touch off firestorms, followed by global cooling from the prior dust kicked up by the air. Humans would likely survive, but civilization might not. An asteroid 5 miles wide would cause major extinctions, like the one that may have marked the end of the age of the dinosaurs.
Look at all that coffee.
For a real chill,
get out of that coffee!
Just look to the Kuiper Belt, a zone just beyond Neptune that contains roughly 100,000 giant ice balls, more than 50 miles in diameter each. The Kuiper Belt sends
Somebody
a steady rain of small comets earthward. If one of the big ones headed right for us, that would be it for pretty much all higher forms of life.
And
even
the local team who wanted to go to Burning Man will never get there because a meteorite's going to wreck everything.
But it doesn't require a meteorite. For example, there could be a massive gamma ray burst that would sufficiently extinguish all life on Earth.
Tonight, G1.
If you could watch the sky with gamma ray vision, you might think you were being stalked by cosmic paparazzi. Once a day or so, you'd see a bright flash appear, briefly outshine everything else, then vanish. These are gamma ray bursts. Astrophysicists recently learned about these babies. They originate in distant galaxies and are unfathomably powerful, as much as 10 quadrillion, that's a 1 followed by 16 zeros,
thanks,
times
professor,
as energetic as our sun.
I think what we need in your Sol, kind of line in this
head room of the heating system.
Look, here's the big head.
Did you hear the theory about how if aliens come here, that they're probably already here in a microbial form, and that they're going to, in intelligent form, too, and that they're going to take over through the internet, through the World Wide Web. That they're just, that they're not microbial, I mean they're...
What do you mean, guns?
Nano, they're like nano...
Nanoviral.
Aliens.
Oh man, how could you be a digital life form, though?
Of them is required to form the physical body that we know as Bill Gates.
God, just think of all the
microbes and how they hold themselves together into a semblance of a human-like thing that breathes and talks. Probably even eats.
Peanut butter cup, Dave?
No thanks. I was going to have some Smarthy tumor juice over there and then also a piece of hemlock pie.
I see the Reverend brought his Slim Fast with him.
You got to drink three
coffee.
You have to drink three or four of those every day. Now, why would a man of your small, not your girth, want to have a Slim Fast for lunch or breakfast?
Because
not as a commercial message.
I can't suck down the blood of a newborn kitten every hour like I would like to, so I have to suck down one of these damn humanoid drinks.
Well,
it's for the protein. I have to have protein to balance the sugar and caffeine.
Well, I think
therefore I have to eat nuts or frop or some other form of protein.
Nuts and frops and other colloquialistic terms for human bodies when you crunch off the tops of their heads and dig right into that fleshy medulla oblongata.
Frop-lop, zips of tops.
Have you ever sliced the
brain?
So
what do you think about that, aliens and nano-aliens?
Well, I was trying to ask you a question. How could they make my biotic form become digital from a digital
form? Actually, boys, the nano-aliens that you're talking about, Chaz, are in fact the WOM supercomputer predicted by J.R. Bob Dobbs, described in not very much detail in either of the baubles, so to speak. This WOM supercomputer is actually like a zillion billion nano alien creatures, which...
What is?
Or creature nano creatures. They're artificial, but, you know, they're as alive as any virus or bacterium. And this supercomputer of the Exist aliens, because of the nature of it, is able to exist as a permeating gas, as a paint upon the walls, as the carpet underneath.
An all-pervasive feeling.
As very slim fast in that can and as the can itself.
Or a lack of
those
oil in one's
part
carburetor.
Of the Exist computer. That is how the Exist supercomputer is able to instantly grant the wishes of all those who paid their $30 to the...
And simultaneously deny the heartfelt desires of those it wishes to crush and conquer.
Following the rupture, or predicted XXXX day, 4XD, we like to call it, coming up this July 5th, 2001.
Foreskin Day.
Foreskin Day? Foreskin Day.
As Bob predicted, yes.
Oh, holy hot foreskin day when our mothers and grandpappies laid down the
flare flap the skinners of
that
Bob
would create a moon and mean here on this consecrated ground.
And we just decided. Actually, there was a
shouldn't
vote.
We demand that everybody in the church be circumcised?
Whoa.
Or circumvented by
faith. I think you got mixed. That's mixed up with a certain heaven's gate, or a certain Judaism, or some such thing,
or
a certain medical American conspiracy. But no,
trepanation was.
We got all the meat we were.
I think everyone
with
in the church should have a sex change and then have a sex change back.
Well, you've already had
that. No, that's been done.
That's already happened in this church of excrescence and putridity.
I can't even keep up with the names of some of our ministers, whether they're Mrs. This or Mr. That.
Hodge Stinky In Between Man Woman, Lethargic
this, or,
Thing Purple Hand. You know, these. Yeah.
Popester This and.
Mary Popester This and That.
But all of these predictions shall come true as the end times unfold. I can
the mic,
do the whole song and dance.
It's crying
sure
in its own
times.
Juices, just like a
how
thick
do we expect
little
to get to the moon if we can't even talk between two buildings?
How can we expect trees to communicate when we cannot even talk with our own urine and other bodily fluids? It's just, you know, too much,
it
I think, sometimes.
Comes back to, like, bodily fluids and genitalia.
That's Dave.
That's little baby talk. That's
like
sophomore
I know,
Chaz, baby
you and
talk.
I would prefer to keep the conversation on a loftier,
much
rationalist,
plane,
humanist
perhaps
level.
Perhaps the subcutaneous
and
plane.
Eschew this metaphysical claptrap nonsense
skin
and random errancy.
Fleshy. Genu-oriented and poo-poo-oriented individuals.
But, of course, that's what the audience that wants. Is. That's what they pay. That's what keeps the advertisers coming in here at WCSB.
Dave's
poo-poo talk.
Okay, now I have to close up the end of the world.
You missed a spot. Over there by the airport for you. Quick! Now all that's left are the Dixie Chicks. Jeez.
And there's some salsa here you could have with those Dixie chips.
Thanks, man.
Well, now, you may laugh, but it is possible a massive gamma ray burst might extinguish all life on Earth, and sooner than we think. See, ironically, it would have been traveling for millions of years through space, and only be reaching us
now. Oh, gosh, again, more irony. That's what this show needs. That's what we all need, so let's get ironic, shall we?
In the wonderful, happy halls of ancient Ireland, where teensy leprechauns frolic around the dim...
Not again. Oh, there they go. Swimming back to Ireland.
And Godspeed.
We're reeling them in.
Little demons.
Look, I caught a 10-pounder.
Now,
I'll just throw it back.
You're probably asking yourself, what causes a gamma ray burst?
And you're right. Sponge.
Well, it's not entirely sponge. It may result from the merging of two collapsed stars.
Where the sponge gets old.
Before the cataclysmical event, the presence of the foundering giants might be impossible for us to understand here on the planet Earth. Yes.
Innocent explanation of how life really happens.
But once the burst begins, there will be no missing its fury. At a distance of 1,000 light years, farther than most of the stars you can see in the clear light, it would appear about as bright as the sun. Earth's atmosphere would at first protect us from most of the burst's deadly X-rays and gamma rays, but at a cost. The potent radiation would cook the atmosphere, creating nitrogen oxides that would destroy
the
ozone layer.
And you've got atmosphere
guardian ozone layer. Ultraviolet rays from the sun would reach the surface at nearly full force, causing skin cancer.
Dear, but they're beautiful.
And, more seriously, killing off the tiny photosynthetic plankton in the ocean that provide oxygen to the atmosphere and bolster the bottom of the food chain. Bursts observed by scientists up to now have been rather distant, which implies the events are rare, but scientists understand so little about these explosions that it's difficult to estimate the likelihood of one detonating any minute.
We're talking sperm donations, clean country air, and a health farm packed with women.
Up until their birth, babies are the ultimate parasite. The one indication of a female along is caution to the wind, the eyes glaze, the glands swell, and the brain freezes. Breeding is an ugly thing.
I didn't bring you down here so they could use you. I brought you down here so I could use you.
I am Gorr. I need your body as a dwelling place while I am here on your Earth. Your feeling of helplessness is your best friend, Savage. When I am occupying your body, or in my present transitory form, I am without substance and indestructible.
You can help me save the Earth from a terrible experience. Yes, the whole Earth.
There is absolutely no doubt of your power to destroy. I saw it. I saw an American colonel killed, burned to a crisp by radiation with one look from this man.
Feels like you got a real monster in there.
You fool! You're feeding him human brains! You're making him strong!
All I remember is feeling something sticky in my pants. Yeah, but when it comes to blood in my underwear, I want to know how it got there. You sucked out her brains?
Yeah, right through her mouth.
Is she dead?
Of course she's dead. What, are you kidding?
Not for while you can, monkey boy.
I don't know if anybody read the Kurt Vonnegut book, Cat's Cradle.
That was famous. Years ago. Sorry, gotta talk like this.
He popularized the idea of Ice 9, a form of water
policy
that is more stable than the ordinary kind of water, and so it's solid at room temperature. If you unleash a bit of it, and suddenly all water on Earth transforms to Ice 9 and freezes solid. Well, Ice 9 was a satirical invention, but an abrupt, disastrous phase transition is a possibility.
Not the phase transition again?
Very early in the history of the universe, according to a leading cosmological model, empty space was full of energy. This state of affairs, called a false vacuum, was really precarious.
Thank you, Digi Lady.
A stable type of vacuum appeared, and like Ice 9, it quickly took over.
You got more show than most, Michael.
This transition unleashed a tremendous amount of energy.
Disengage.
Runaway explosion and expansion of the cosmos. It is possible that another, even more stable kind of vacuum exists. As the universe expands and cools, tiny bubbles of this new kind of vacuum might appear.
Bye, DigiLady.
They would spread at nearly the speed of light.
The funeral of the DigiLady.
The laws of physics would change in an instant. And a blast of energy would dash everything to bits.
And her body was transported to the roof garden for a week.
However, this is considered a somewhat theoretical and not as dangerous as the menace of rogue black holes passing near our solar system. Yes, it's possible that these rogue black holes could deform our orbital path around our star and even send the Earth itself into freezing outer space and darkness.
That'd be okay. It'd be new. And isn't everything new, like new experience, a good thing?
Well, black holes have been around since the beginning of the formation of the cosmos.
What about Roddy McDowell?
The whole galaxy
He's been
is
around
black
since
holes,
the beginning
like
of
a piece
time
of
space.
Swiss cheese.
He was playing the TVs before the negatives were wooden.
They are essentially collapsed stellar
dwarfs. Oh, geez, not
just
again.
A dozen
Every time
miles
you talk about that, it happens.
How full tough question.
There it goes. Whole societies going down the drain.
They're not
just because Hal had to bring up collapsed systems.
They're called black holes for a reason. They call them
Jeez.
Black
well,
holes.
Well, I guess it's kind of, you know, whatever's fair. If 100,000 civilizations had to die so you could hear us do the show, I guess that's okay.
You see, their gravity is so strong that they swallow everything, while their comedy is so negative that they are unobserved by science.
Yeah, never mind. It's just a black hole. Never mind.
Even the light that might betray their presence is routinely sucked into a black hole.
Anybody here?
No, no societies are dying here. You can go
now. I like my coffee like I like my black holes.
Don't worry, everything's just fine.
Well, there are about 10 million black holes in the Milky Way. Now, I don't want to hear any snickers. The Hershey Observatory confirmed this, and the Clark
God,
Observatory
the caller
also
hung up.
The creamy nougat surrounding the caramel coating. So, you see, the black hole could distort the orbital mechanics of the entire solar system very easily by being a powerful
attractor. Only because you keep bringing it up.
But even that seems a more complicated mechanism, and we should always look for a simpler way for us to be annihilated, and that is probably from a giant solar flare.
I think you're talking about pizza by the slice.
They
big
get huge,
slice of
you know. They get bigger
on
than ever
and
seen.
Smothers out
of course, these
all life.
Solar flares,
it
properly
happen.
Known as coronal mass ejections,
I think it
are
yeah.
enormous uh-huh. magnetic outbursts on the sun
what
that
if, like,
bombard
the
Earth with a torrent
Captain
of high-speed subatomic
one
particles.
Factory went crazy and started making too much.
Earth's atmosphere and magnetic field
and
negate
the
potentially lethal
Captain
effects
Crunch
of ordinary flares.
One.
But while looking through old
not
astronomical
the
records,
one, but the peanut butter one.
Worried scientists found evidence that some perfectly normal-looking sun-like stars can brighten up briefly by up to a factor of 20.
Oh,
these
okay.
stellar flickers
that
are caused
11,
by super flares.
Yeah, they can do 20.
Millions
oops,
of times
berries.
More powerful than their common cousins. Within a few hours, a super flare on the sun could fry Earth.
Ow.
And begin disintegrating the ozone layer.
Not again.
Although there is persuasive evidence that our sun doesn't engage in such antics, scientists don't know why super flares happen at all, or whether our sun could exhibit milder but still disruptive autistic behavior. And while too much solar activity could be deadly, too little of it is problematic as well. And so, the sun could become not brighter, but nearly 1% dimmer. Might not sound like much, but a similar
cool,
downturn
man,
in the sun could send us into another ice age. We'd freeze to death. There is evidence that decreased solar activity contributed to 17 of the 19 major cold episodes on
it's
Earth
cold out here
in the last
show.
10,000 years, as freezing night descends on the lunar surface of the playa.
Did you hear about the sun activity, too? The sun is, like, going through, like, a total peak time right now.
Yeah, George Jr. is really, he's as popular as the father was.
But it is. There's, like,
flares
a website.
Up a lot, I've heard.
There's like, there's a
flares,
website.
They're more like little pubescent rockets than flares.
It's a really cool website, too. That's all about it. It's got you can get a real-time sun screensaver now.
I would love
like
one of
you
those.
Used to put up four or five different pictures
yeah.
of the sun.
I should have sent it
we
here.
Quit doing that because it was so disturbing.
Well, do you
it appeared that huge, gigantic shotguns were blasting away at the sun about half the
I
time.
I think those were Masonic...
Well, it's going through some pretty big
subliminals
right
from the Masonics who are running the NASA corporations.
Wait a minute. The engine that... creates all warmth for the whole solar system is having a little trouble right now, did you say?
Supposedly. It's more than a little trouble.
Now, could this possibly be the coming of prophecy, of all the prophecies of
it's
every primitive
rich form of frothy
form
turbulence
of humanoid
you and your mom and dad and everyone who
tadpoles,
you don't even know is going to want to
the prophecy
grasp
of the
Hopi,
of the Aztecs, the
as
Incas,
it salutes
and the Sub-Genii
itself in the sky. Like a burning lantern.
That all things, that the great carpet of reality would be rolled
so
up,
smooth,
taken outside,
soft.
Hung over a tree limb, and batted by a gigantic old hag with a broom standing on the back of an infinite number of turtles.
And that she would spray it with an anti-lice
that,
sort of lotion potion?
Right, and then it would be rolled, laden back down, and all things would begin anew in the new age. Or the new, I forget the.
Well, how the about new Navajo Trail?
The new Navajo Trail
in the Church
Navajo
of the Subgenius.
That leads off into the cosmos.
These silly primitive superstitions are understood in a scientific way as the time intersection, which will happen when the great Mobius strip or infinity sign that is the road of time.
In the
it has to cross
ancient,
in the middle, right? Well, we're nearing that crossover point.
Yeah.
See,
I
want to
set up
that.
A little deli right there at that crossroad.
Jazz spanking
well, what are you going to do if them X's don't come
store.
On X day? It's like, well, I think the X's are kind of wondering what the hell's going to happen when the time intersection occurs. Listener,
so what are you doing about his voice
ready?
Up
oh,
his little
year,
belly.
You was ready for
hey, stop
the,
playing with the machine.
Their
hey, over
stored
there.
Up, their frap was stored up for Y2K. Now, Nine. They're not worried about nothing. They ain't worried about X-day. Ain't worried about time intersection, about divine rupture. They don't care about nothing.
About time.
They're going to get drunk
and
party.
Why should it? And how can it?
They're just going to get drunk, aren't you?
Softly.
RG by radio, you listen to me. You
spinal
fluid. We'll go out there and get drunk. I know you. I see you from up
top of your brain now.
Well, what do you know?
They don't cut no ice with me.
Speaking of ice cutters,
you remember
the time Jack and I were out, and we were so far, damn far out there, that when we dug the hole, you know, and stuck
squid gigging,
and we were squid gigging, and we stuck the little shack over the top of the little hole in the ice, you know, and we're sitting there popping back a few beer, you know, and I guess one guy, this guy, you know, he's talking about Mario Lemieux and all this hockey crap all night, and I says, I don't like hockey, you know, so I pull this little, like, harpoon device I got. You know, it's about 4.5 inches long. You get it from K-Tel Ronco, any of them guys. You can order away for it. And I shove it right into his thigh and rip those, you know, those real thick muscles near the top of his knee, you know?
You're a prankster, Dan.
I tell you, we had a good laugh after that. With all years and years of stories about that. And I guess, well, it got him a little railed up, you know.
So did he kill you then now, Dave?
I think I know where the nano aliens live.
What do you think they live?
Why, they're the leprechauns of Celtic legend.
They're the wee folk.
Pink penises, red hearts, and purple...
The Dave Brains.
Brains.
Aye.
Frolicking over the hillsides of the Emerald Isle, the Emerald Palace, Emerald City. The Emerald Mushrooms.
That dirty Turkish heart of back, Black Monkey Martin, Morton Philip Monkey Martin, Perkaluma Burton.
Well, then, of course, there's the possibility of the sudden and unexpected reversal of Earth's magnetic field. It could happen. Yes, indeed. The North and South Poles could flip and then flop. The last such reversal was 780,000 years ago in early October. So we may be overdue for another one. worse, the strength of our magnetic field has decreased about 5% in the past
century.
Why worry in an age when GPS has made compasses obsolete? Well, the magnetic field deflects particle storms and cosmic rays from sun, as well as even more energetic subatomic particles from deep space.
Without our typical
magnetic shield, these particles would ping into us and strike Earth's atmosphere, eroding beleaguered beagle of the ozone layer.
There's always a guy that keeps talking, and then there's the monster.
Well, what does you expect it to do? Gronk, gronk, stamp, snort.
Yeah, that comes then after the guy keeps talking, then monster destroy city.
We have evidence of such a monster before. It happened many thousands of years ago.
Little Mimiko. Here is Mimiko's original burial.
Many creatures navigate by magnetic reckoning. A magnetic reversal might cause these giant monsters to be confused and wander about aimlessly, bumping into each other.
Oh, excuse me.
There are no identifiable fossil effects from previous flops and flips. This is most curious. But still, a disaster that kills a quarter of the population, like the Black Plague in Europe, would hardly register as a little old blip in the fossil record.
Teeny weeny.
I figured, you know, I just needed some help. I ordered my body. Within 11 days, I had lost my waist and my hips. Today I'm wearing those pants about a year and a half now. My kids aren't hurting me anymore. My knees at my face and definitely in my stomach and my legs. It's incredible.
So what are you waiting for? 622-1800-622 now and receive $25 supply. You'll also receive the book Lose Sleep While You Sleep free with your 622-46. 2684246.
And now...
Hi, I'm looking mighty good there.
Ooh, yeah.
I injured my rotator years ago.
What happened?
Finally, it's bothering me anymore.
Well, thanks. I used to struggle on my knee. 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 On my knee.
Float. Float. Spit. Float.
Well, thanks.
You're fine.
Out, out, out! Yow! Dragon, dragon, terracotta slaughter and a very foreign kind of slaughter!
In 1783, the Lakey volcano in Iceland erupted, spitting out 3 cubic miles of lava. Floods, ash, and fumes wiped out 9,000 people and 80% of the livestock. The ensuing starvation killed a quarter of Iceland's population. Atmospheric dust caused winter temperatures to plunge by 9 degrees in the newly independent United States. And that was just a baby's burp compared with what the Earth can do. 65 million years ago, a plume of hot rock from the mantle burst through the crust in what is now India. Eruptions raged century after century, ultimately unleashing a quarter cubic million miles of lava. That's the Lakey eruption 100,000 times as large. Some scientists still say that this, not an asteroid, killed the dinosaurs. An earlier, even larger event in Siberia occurred just about the time of the Permian-Triassic extinction, the most thorough extermination known to paleontology. At that time, 95% of all species were wiped out. Sulfurous, stinking volcanic gases produce acid rains, and then chlorine bearing compounds present yet another threat to the fragile ozone layer, a noxious bubbling brew all around. While they are causing short-term destruction, volcanoes also fart out carbon dioxide that yields long-term greenhouse gas effect warning. The last big pulse of flood basalt volcanism built the Columbia River Plateau about 17 million years ago. We're ripe.
Look at the size of it.
Yes, friends, we're ripe indeed. Ripe to throw that loaf of this planet overboard. And we've been listening to, well, it's been kind of an unusual hour of slack in that a couple of things fell into my lap and it suddenly turned in to an end-of-the-world show, starring the KPFA Subgenius show from around 2000 with Dr. Howell Robbins going on and on about the end and the various ways we can meet it and puzzling evidence filling in the blanks. And of course, friends, as always, a lot of Einstein Secret Orchestra Swamp Radio from WCSB in Cleveland with Professor Chaz Smith Dances with Rockets, a lonesome Cowboy Dave, and yours truly, Reverend Ivan Stang. And the clips and little media barrage bits that we've been hearing in between are by our friend New Monet, Saint New Monet, who posted those on all binary Slack. Friends, we'll see you at www.subgenius.com. But hurry, because it's all coming to a close so very, very quickly. Oh, yeah.
Well, we could be killed by global epidemics because if the Earth doesn't do us in, our fellow organisms might be up to the task. Germs and people have always coexisted, but occasionally the balance gets out of whack. Like when they had the Black Plague, killing one European in 4 during the 14th century. Influenza took at least 20 million lives between 1918 and 1919. Now we got the AIDS epidemic, producing a similar death toll and still going strong. From 1990 to 1992, reports the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, mortality from infectious disease in the United States rose like a balloon, 58%. And meanwhile, old diseases like cholera and measles are coming back. They've developed resistance to all the high-tech drugs we've been throwing their way. Intensive agriculture and land development is bringing humans closer to animal pathogens and stinky germs that rest in huge mounds of animal feces cast off from factory farms where giant chickens meet a hideous fate.
Chickens too. There was the ones in the commercials.
The grimmest possibility would be the emergence of a strain that spreads so fast we are caught off guard. that resists all chemical means of control. Hey, perhaps as a result of our stirring the ecological pot.
Our fault again. Thank you. It's the Our Fault Show. Join us, won't you, on ourfault.org.
It's like a saloon in the Dave brain. It's like an old Western saloon in there.
It's always 2001.
Only except for 2001.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's 1888 and, you know, like
it's 1888 and 2001.
At the same time.
And the year 2328.
There's them like Lily, you know, all type there. Prostitute 25. Dancer girls around and cowboys.
The year 5449 is in there.
Well, of course.
That's the saloon at the end of time, the saloon at the time intersection, where Dave meets every archetype of Dave
crossroads
from throughout history. The transvestite hooker with a heart
like
of gold,
a maze come together
Davisa,
massive flute,
or Davess,
preaching and blowing the thirsty minions down onto
the crooked mayor below. Dave, the
and
rich,
sand washes
rich
away.
Developer Dave, the all in the saloon at the end of the universe. The starship captain,
it isn't a pleasant
handsome
sight.
Dave,
who wants to look at things
the
anyway?
Saddled,
with
crippled lawyer in a wheelchair.
Eye sockets,
Dave,
he's linked up to.
In the saloon of life.
What do you have, partner? What do you have? You there, partner with the one eye pointed down, the other one pointed sideways. What do you have?
I'll have a time intersection. I mean a sarsaparilla, sir.
Hey, we don't serve no sarsaparilla, no St. Louis sissies around here. You can drink a man's drink, or you walk out there in the street and get shot down by him.
And at the moment that the inhabitants of the Cosmic Saloon did not even notice the passage of the time intersection. But everything had changed. And when they walked outside, the circus of Dr. Lowe was just arriving.
Now
in town.
Elephants and tigers and lions and laughing clowns. And Sheriff Grumley decided
the Yeti jumped, the sideshow Yeti broke free from its chains, ran into the crowd, and carried off the spinster repressed frigid librarian. And he and Pan having a three-way with her to turn her on. Then the stupid, ignorant, racist rednecks, while getting the local town surviving Indian to dance, accidentally knocked over the fishbowl containing the infant Loch Ness monster, which grew to gigantic size, chased the men into a giant flaming cathedral where they threw spears at it until they
turned
into James Franciscus and it died. And so we learn that nature, in its infinite wisdom, mocks man with his puny pride.
Nature, which holds us in its tender grip, its mercies, its gentle cradle, until we've approached the moment of wisdom, at which time it turns its hand down and its cold, icy stare out of it.
And so we know that Godzilla will be back again to teach man a lesson.
Only this time, he will come to man in the form of a friendly little puppy named Joey Boy.
Dun, dun, dun.
We have already seen these things. Dr. Panaram and Dr. Patel and I have spent hours and hours in mystic dreaming, and this is our prediction, that not only will the white buffalo return, but the cute little puppy will be the messiah of mankind.
Oh, man. It's a lousy prediction.
The guy's nuts. Then there's global warming. Forget what the Republicans say, the Earth is getting warmer. And scientists mostly agree that the humans are directly responsible.
Damn humies.
It's easy to see how global warming could flood cities, ruin harvests, and
pancakes.
More recently, researchers have raised the alarm that a balmier planet could also assist the spread of infectious disease by providing
nice.
A more
every
suitable climate
like
for hideous parasites that
nothing
bore into your skin and
won't
chew
kill.
Their way right to your heart.
Right to your fart?
Heart.
Oh.
At present, atmospheric gases trap enough local heat close to the surface to keep things comfy, but increase the global temperature a bit, and there could be a bad feedback effect, with water evaporating faster right in your face. Freezing water vapor, a potent greenhouse gas which traps more heat, which drives carbon dioxide from the rocks, which drives temperature still higher. Earth could end up much like Venus, where the high is on a typical day is a sizzling 900 degrees Fahrenheit. It would probably take a lot of warming to initiate such a runaway greenhouse effect, but scientists have no clue where exactly the tipping point lies.
What do you mean they have no clue? They're smart guys.
They're smart, but they don't know, because this is a situation which has never been experienced before.
Earlier today, Chaz was giving a sort of a trance lecture about the range from the protoplasmic beginnings of all life to space exploration. And this lovely dome here is certainly a good place to think about that, because if we're not lucky, all of our descendants will live inside little puffer domes like this, because there won't be the right kind of air outside. And if we are lucky, yes! Oh, baby! Do that again! I say! Oh, I say! Oh, hit me one more time, please, darling. If you increase the oxygen in here too much, a spark like that would cause an explosion. We'd all be fried like those poor brave astronauts on one of those ill-fated missions.
Turn up the oxygen, man! Wait.
On the other hand, if you turn the oxygen up, you get kind of high.
Well, let us be first.
We'll find something else.
Now, remember, the air outside is not exactly the same as inside, so you might want to go through that decompression chamber first. Oh, man. Jeez. These kids. Just go right in and out from Earth atmosphere to the outside atmosphere. Doesn't even bother. I have to wear a mask to go out there. Yeah. It's hard to keep up with evolution, man. It was hard enough just to crawl out of that pond and use the lungs. That hurt.
You kids don't know nothing. You never did have to crawl out of that ocean and use them lungs the first time. And that first time we had to invent murder, that was hell, baby.
But man's got to eat. Gotta build that spaceship somehow, and you have to start by chipping flint rocks together, well, that's a start. Better than sitting on your butt and scratching your butt. Or is it, friends? Would it have been better for early man to have merely sat upon its butt, scratching that butt, and picking its nose and fleas off each other and running like happy little monkeys in the wilderness, instead of all this progress, which, while it has brought us these ants and things, they're still not working right. And we have to breathe this processed atmosphere, or else end up like those new breed of kids with the giant lungs and stuff. God. Sometimes I get mixed up and can't even remember what century I'm in. I remember that one time when we invented legs. That was out of necessity, believe me. No, but, there's some people think Well, I used to think, Chaz, we've been exhorting people to build their own ships just in case the aliens don't save our butts. But I used to say to people, well, hell, we got a whole nother planet right here on this one. that's a lot closer than Mars or the moon and a lot more hospitable, that being the ocean. Oh, we got a whole nother two planets worth left to pollute, if that's what we wanted to do.
He's a maniac out to rule the world. What can I do to make you understand him? I love you.
A similar biological disaster would be a complete ecosystem collapse.
Maybe this skin cream will help me out.
Images of slaughtered elephants and burning rainforests, well, they get your attention. But the big problem, overall loss of biodiversity, is a lot less visible and a lot more serious. Billions of years of evolution have produced a world in which every organism's welfare is intricately intertwined with that of countless other species. A recent study of Isle Royale National Park in Lake Superior offers an example. Snowy winters encourage wolves to hunt in larger packs.
Can't feel legs.
So they kill more moose. The decline in moose population allows more balsam fir saplings to live, since they're not nibbled and chewed by the marauding mooses, or meese. The fir trees pull carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere, which in turn influences the climate, as the CO2 is sucked from the air, replacing diverse wild plants, just a few varieties of crops, transporting plants and animals, and introducing new and dangerous chemicals into the environment. At least 30,000 species vanish every year from HUMI activity, which means we are living in the midst of one of the greatest mass extinctions in Earth's history. And it's all the fault of the Republican Party.
Yeah. Get him.
Now, while we are extinguishing natural species, we're also creating new species through genetic tamperings in weird secret labs. Genetically modified crops can be hardier, tastier, and more nutritious. And they can be intensely radioactive. Engineered microbes might ease our health problems. And gene therapy offers an elusive promise
now.
Of fixing fundamental defects in our DNA. Then there are the possible downsides.
I gotta do it.
Although
now.
There is no evidence indicating genetically modified foods are unsafe. There still are signs that the genes from modified plants can leak out somehow and get on you and find their way
into other
species.
See, that's the Robo Bonnie. It's the nude on the moon queen.
Engineered crops might also foster
colony of
insecticide resistance.
And wannabe Bonnies and guy Bonnies.
The resulting super weeds and super giant insects could further destabilize the stressed global ecosystem.
Earthman.
Altered microbes might grow to a large size and prove to be unexpectedly difficult to control.
The 5'10 area.
Scariest
but we're talking
of all
about Robobots,
is the possibility of
which
the
is a
deliberate
different
misuse of biotechnology to create a Robobat.
But a similar version up in Santa Rosa,
terrorist group or rogue
who's
nation
listening right now, sure,
might decide that anthrax isn't nasty enough and then try to put together an airborne version of the Robobabs virus. Now there's a showstopper for you. Yeah, well, those are all very large-scale causes of mass death. The holocaustic xenotaph
all that
of
show,
the human
just, all that show,
race.
I have been told you are planning a child sacrifice.
They would be like beast.
I am a slave. What would you have me do?
Well, there's one thing I have to get myself. Something that will tell me when I've succeeded.
What's that?
A live giant grasshopper.
This beast isn't only electric. It's intensely radioactive.
We have just received a report from America that mountains of dead fish are washing ashore along the coast from Maine to Florida.
Does everything in Texas spit toxic cud?
When you ask for something as special as a brain, even Buddha is going to give you the runaround.
She's dead, Master.
You've been a very bad boy today.
Are you ready to accept my domination?
How's the fillet?
Tender? You're eating one of my trainees that didn't quite work out.
She wants to be in a freak show. It's a free country.
What about a particle accelerator mishap? It could happen.
It could happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. You know, Ted Kaczynski, The notorious Unabomber raved, they said, that a particle accelerator experiment could set off a chain reaction that would destroy the world. Surprisingly, many sober-minded scientists have had the same thought. Normally, their anxieties come up during private meetings with corporate bosses amidst much scribbling on the backs of used envelopes. Recently, the questions went public when London Sunday Times reported that the relativistic heavy ion collider, they call it Rick, on Long Island, New York, might create a micro-world with a subatomic black hole that would slowly nibble away our precious freedoms and our planet. Alternately, it might create exotic bits of altered matter that would shoot right through you. They're called strangelets, and they would obliterate whatever ordinary matter they met. To assuage Rick's jittery neighbors, the lab's director convened a panel that rejected both scenarios as pretty much impossible. Just for good measure, the passenger complained when they dismissed the possibility that Rick would trigger a phase transition in the cosmic vacuum energy. That's what I spoke of before, that the vacuum would collapse and become celestial ice 9, and we'd all be frozen forever in eternal amber. It could happen.
Whatever. What about the sponge?
Well, the sponge machine is not nearly powerful enough to make a black hole or destabilize the vacuum.
Stereo.
But we can always build a bigger accelerator. But it might not be big things that bring us down, because we could also have a nanotechnology disaster.
Oh, again?
You see, right now, scientists are working on developing what they call nanobots. Millions of teensy-tiny robots that get into your bloodstream.
Nanobots.
I didn't read that, because I was... I saw it was an article.
Was it
a favorable article?
Fairly
favorable.
A punk called Chicken John.
News, as it were.
Yeah, well, so you see, these tiny nanobots could be designed by artificial intelligences, which could continue to refine the nanobot design until the human body would be considered obsolete and would be instantly chewed to flinders by millions of jittering nanobots.
Not again. I hate it when that happens.
Or, conversely, environmental toxins could squirt into the atmosphere. As in Bhopal, India. You know, they are even finding pollution in the snows of Antarctica. The Earth is hopelessly contaminated. And
with
giant monsters are waking up and with anger in their hearts. Yes, indeed. Of course, there's also global war. A nuclear war would be harmful. Let's admit that. And it would probably be very harmful for the together, the U.S. and Russia still have 19,000 active nuclear warheads.
They don't sound doctrinal to me.
He hasn't got real feet. He's got those weird, like, pod things. How can you believe a guy like that? Look at his ears. They got, like, the weird radio materials hanging right out. I can't listen to a guy.
But seriously, you know, if we look at prophecy, as many do, the Weekly World News there at the checkout line, as we thumb through Revelation X, the Book of the Subgenius, we...
Using our second or third foreskin thumb...
We're entering a glorious new age, a new era of diseases, of volcanic eruptions
praise
that decimate
diseases.
Entire states... earthquakes, incredible man-made disasters of gigantic stockpiles of nerve gases released into the atmosphere.
And confused,
blowing hither and yon.
Slapping amongst the small Union children as they gathered by the gates to sing songs.
The madness of the Middle Ages will pale in comparison to the marvelous, futuristic New Age that's coming.
It is now.
We know that you, the listener, are interested in the future, or you wouldn't be listening to this show. You who are hearing my voice now, those of you who live into the New Age will see such wonders as rubber cities, gigantic...
Huge.
Dominoes, the size of skyscrapers.
Rubber dominoes.
All set to go off and fall at once.
Yes,
on July 5th, 2001. At Brushwood Campground in Sherman, New York.
Devices all done, Master. All is in order now.
See, one such wonders as glass lipstick, growth books.
We like the glass lipstick.
Sin pills.
I have taken many, Master. What shall I do now?
Other miracles of science, such as the robotic butt puffler.
The eye condenser, the amazing eye condenser, takes what you see or what you have seen and procreates into a small proclivitous package. Can be owned by a member of your family unit now for a limited time, but not in the neutral space. These are completely designed for a modern you today in the neutral space. If you care or if you dare, just step into the box, reach your hand out. The influence will go
step
on
into the box.
Are you ready for this future? Is this really the future that you want? This is food for thought, ladies and gentlemen.
And until next week,
the box is done.
You can keep your hat on tight.
Don't dare.
You're back to the wind. And your sack in the saddle.
Think about it.
Well, Mom, I didn't want to go, man. Well, the first thing he said, if I didn't go, then I wouldn't be. I didn't want to go. He forced me to go. And then, well, the first thing he said,
you from doing business with us again.
You're listening to the Subgenius Radio Ministry Hour of Slack. For free information on Bob Dobbs and the Church of the Subgenius, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to, got your pencil ready? Bob, Post Office Box
181417, Cleveland Heights, Ohio 44118.
That's Bob, P.O. Box
181417, Cleveland Heights, Ohio 44118, www.subgenius.com.
Stay tuned and praise Bob.